I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be part of showing our appreciation for Donna and her impact as she has faithfully served the ladies of Founders and of Women Walking Wisely. It is a joy to see old faces, not old faces. This is not the time to say that. The average age in this group today is, let's see, do I venture to guess, 78, 82? You young ones brought that average down. But Frank and I have become Texans, or we're becoming Texans. We've been gone for almost 8 years, having been members of Grace for 40 years, and it is good to be back, especially for this occasion. This is a special time for Donna and for her girls, I'm sure. I'm sure you're proud of your mother. And it's a special occasion for Donna. It's a special occasion for us because we can celebrate not only Donna's service to the women of Founders, that's my church at home, to the ladies of Family of Faith, Faith Builders, and to the women of Women Walking Wisely, but also to celebrate what God has done through Donna's life and through her leadership in Women Walking Wisely. I'm reminded of a recent sermon by our pastor where he mentioned that it's appropriate to honor someone who has impacted our lives because faithfulness in ministry is faithfulness explained by God. Godly service is produced by Him. And we've seen that happen as God has produced effective and ministry through Donna among us. Donna, you have been an instrument in God's hand to help us in becoming ladies that want to walk wisely according to Scripture. And your impact, I'm sure, has been felt by many. And I think this is evidenced here today, not just because of the effort that has gone into this tea. That's wonderful. It's beautiful, ladies. But for those that have come from a far distance to bless you because you have blessed us, we appreciate that. Let me take you back to 1994. Speaking about eggs, we were purchasing eggs at 89 cents a dozen. Ground beef was costing $1.47 a pound, and in that year, we were pumping gas into our cars at $1.09 per gallon. A lot more was going on in 1994. Let's begin with January. January the 17th, 1994, Donna's birthday. She was awakened abruptly by the shaking of the house and the shaking of the ground, as many of us experienced. And how could we forget the 1994 earthquake? Other things were happening in 1994. In July, Amazon was founded by Jeff Bezos in his garage in Bellevue, Washington. In October of that year, the World Series was canceled because the Major League Baseball players were on strike. A lot was going on in 1994. But something else important and eventful happened that year. It happened in the month of May, 1994. In God's providence, Bill and Donna came to what was then Family of Faith, later, soon after that to be called Faith Builders, came to our class. As I was preparing to speak today, I remembered something that I had forgotten a long time ago, and that was, there was another Saturday morning tea held here at Grace. with Donna as the guest of honor. How did that come about? Well, Bill came as a pastor to our class, and of course he brought his wife along with him, but we didn't know her very well. And we just wanted to know what was this pastor's wife like? What made her tick? What was her family life like? Where did she come from? What was her testimony? And so to get to know her a little bit better, we interviewed her at that tea. Is there anyone here today? I know, Linda, you had to be here. Anyone else here today that was at that tea? Janie Bright. Well, we're the old timers. But that was the first tea in 1994. And now, today, 31 years later, there's another tea held here at Grace to honor with Donna as the guest of honor. I doubt if anyone else at Grace could make that claim that there have been two teas held at Grace Community Church with them as the guest of honor. Let's jump ahead to one particular day in 1995. It was lunchtime. I left my work at the courthouse in Van Nuys. I sped up Van Nuys Boulevard, turned left on Victory, hopped into the 405, got off at Roscoe, and dashed into the parking lot at Coco's. I was on a mission. It was lunchtime. Mission number one, lunch. Mission number two, I was going to have lunch with a lady I barely knew and share an idea with her. That lady was Donna. There was some small talk. I felt a bit uncomfortable. I didn't really know her. And here I am going to suggest something to the pastor's wife. And so we sat and had lunch. I grew up exposed to and involved in many women's groups. I'm old, so I've been in a lot of women's groups. And my earliest memory was sitting at the feet of my mother at a ladies' group called the Ladies Missionary Society. This was held at a small church up in Fillmore. This was before I started even first grade. I didn't go to kindergarten. I was too smart. But even at that young age, I would go to the Ladies Missionary Society with my mother. There they made quilts that they sent to missionaries. They also took old white sheets, back in the 40s, I don't think we had colored sheets, so they just took white sheets. And they stripped them into about 6-inch wide strips, the length of the old white sheet, and they rolled them up. And they sent them to missionaries to be used as bandages on the mission field. Even as a little kid, I saw these women enjoying good Christian fellowship, studying God's word together, sharing prayer requests, sharing the challenges of the Christian life. And they were just enjoying Christian sisterhood. Through the years, I had seen the spiritual benefits of women meeting with women. I envisioned such a group within Faith Builders. And at that lunch with Donna, I shared my vision for Faith Builders. I envisioned women with common beliefs, common challenges of walking the Christian life, of women encouraging women, sharing trials, sharing answered prayers, just Titus 2 being put into practice, friendships being formed within a big church, so important. I see Linda Morgan sitting down here. Linda Morgan and I have been friends for almost 60 years. We didn't meet at a women's club down some town. We met at church. Those friendships are important. And I just envision for faith builders, women just ministering to women. I left those thoughts with Donna and I rushed back to work. The seed was sown, and later, with Donna at the helm, Women Walking Wisely was conceived, and Women Walking Wisely was born. The first corporate meeting was held in 1997, and at that first table, at that first meeting, there were six tables and 41 ladies attending. I happen to have the roster. Chris Rush sent me this roster. This is interesting. I wish you all had a copy of it. Now, back then, the tables were identified by color, not by number. There was a yellow table there. Is Gil Light here? Gil, I was looking. That was your table. Gil Light and Donna Seidman for the leaders. Green table. Fonny Orozco and Rita Smith. Sorry to say, I wish they were here today, but neither one of them are. Blue table. Sharon Jarka here? Sharon, hi. I hadn't seen you. Linda, they were the leaders at that table. A pink table, Donna Burrell and Julie Armstrong. I don't know that they're here. Purple table, where's Pauline? Pauline and Janet Cooley. Then there was the peach table. Janie Bright and Leona Lott. Now, I said six tables because they told me that there were six tables at that first year of Women Walking Wisely. But down here, there's a seventh table. Color, multicolored. One name at that table, Donna Shannon. I don't know what that's about. But you know, it takes a lot of participation of many to bring about a God-honoring and a spiritually beneficial ministry. You've heard the metaphor, too many cooks in the kitchen. That's a negative metaphor. But in this case, there have been many cooks in the kitchen, not hindering, but helping Donna as she has effectively overseen every detail of Women Walking Wisely. Many ladies have served in Women Walking Wisely to make it happen, and we want to see who you are. If you have ever been a leader or a co-leader, I'd like for you to, anytime during these many years, I'd like for you to raise your hand. Look at that. All of these ladies can testify to the fact that Donna invested her life in us as she met with us each month to prepare us, to teach us, to encourage us, and to just help us in the leadership of our tables. There's a lot that could be said about those meetings. They were priceless. They were treasured times. And not only did she put her life into the monthly corporate meeting, she poured her life into the leaders. And Donna, we appreciate that and thank you for that. Now, if you've ever served in Women Walking Wisely in any fashion, sound, music, teaching, tea hostess, leader, a hostess, or anything, preparing studying questions. I talked to Natalie today, and we remember sitting at the kitchen table at Donna's talking about questions that could be asked for the table discussions. But if you have served in any way, in any fashion, a greeter, Margie, Maribella, anyone that has in any way participated in making Women Walking Wisely happen, please raise your hand. Any fashion, music, leaders, everything. Ladies, you have played a vital role in making Women Walking Wisely happen 9 months out of every year for the last 28 years. And we thank you for that. We're thankful to God for your faithful service along and your willingness as you have come along and assisted Donna in the leadership of Women Walking Wisely. The theme verse for Women Walking Wisely is Ephesians 4:1. And you have these little cards at your table. These are for you to take home. But I would like for us together to quote what's on your screen or what's on your card. Ephesians, let's do it together. Ephesians 4:1. Walking worthy of the calling with which you have been called. These are for you, but for those of you who remember Leela, and how could we have a day like this without mentioning Leela? But she was an integral part of Women Walking Wisely for many years. She planned many teas, and she always wanted scripture placed at the tables. She would be pleased today to know that we are carrying on that tradition of having scripture at each table. And that card is for you to take home. Let me read Ephesians 4:1 again, adding verses 2 and 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul admonishes us in this verse to walk worthy. In Pastor John's note on this verse, he says that worthy has the idea of living to match one's position in Christ. There's a lot that could be said about that. He also said, Pastor John also said, and I quote, the Apostle Paul urged his readers to be everything the Lord desires and empowers them to be. And we know from Scripture that that is God's will for us, to be everything he desires and empowers us to be. The word walk in the New Testament often refers to how we live, our daily conduct. And this has been Donna's goal and desire for all of us, that we walk worthy, that we know God's word, that we obey God's word, that we daily walk wisely. Based upon what? Based upon God's commands and his exhortations in Scripture. And Women Walking Wisely has challenged us through the years to do just that. Our walk is not to be in the footsteps of the culture or of worldly wisdom, but we are to walk in the footsteps of Christ according to his inerrant, sufficient word and by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Just think of that, gals. It's not our power. We can't do it. We can only walk as God wants us to walk, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Through the years, we have studied many books, and there was a list there. So we studied near the early days, we studied The Joy of Fearing God by Jerry Bridges and Respectable Sins. I loved that book, especially because the first three chapters, if you want to hear about sin, read the first three chapters of Respectable Sins. It is convicting. And we also did the None Other by our own pastor, John MacArthur. Who would have ever thought that back in 1995, when I sat at lunch with Donna and made the suggestion that my own daughter, Cheryl Marshall, would someday co-author a book with Caroline Neuheiser that would be used for your study in the 2022-23 years. That was very meaningful to Cheryl because she had grown up here at Grace, and it was meaningful to me because Women Walking Wisely had been such an important part of my life while we were here in California. All the books studied were purposely chosen by Donna to help us in our walk with the Lord. To walk in a way, as John MacArthur said, to walk in a way that matches our position in Christ. Donna, I know this ministry has been on your heart and mind for at least 29 years. And we have been blessed by your commitment to the Lord, first of all, and your commitment to Women Walking Wisely. I would like to close by sharing a few thoughts that I shared in 2009 when a plaque of appreciation was presented to Donna at a tea planned by Leela. These are the words that I said that day as that plaque was presented, and I quote, "On behalf of the leadership of Women Walking Wisely and all of the ladies in Women Walking Wisely, we want to acknowledge your godly leadership. Because you know God, because you know yourself, because you know the gospel, and because you know God's purpose for you, you have led us diligently and faithfully. You are transparent in living. You are willing to share your life. There is warmth in your hospitality." She's good at that, you know, girls. "You nurture in correction. You pursue holiness and godliness. And you are an example for us to follow. Because of all of this, we have each benefited and grown in the Lord." End of quote. These words are still true today. And Donna, we love you, appreciate you, and we thank you. What God has accomplished in this ministry is an expression of God's grace. It's an expression of his power, and our response is to praise our holy God. Ladies, I'm going to ask you right now for you to bow and just silently say a prayer for Bill and Donna and their future and the days ahead, and then I will close. But please, please thank the Lord for them and please pray for them just now. Dear God, we do praise you that you, in your providence in 1994, brought Bill and Donna to our fellowship group. We pray your blessings on them in the days ahead, and for all that you have done and will do in their lives, we give you praise. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your love in all of our lives, and for providing Bill and Donna for us during this time of our lives. We thank you and praise you.
Hi, ladies. My name is Linda Morgan, and I have been a part of Women Walking Wisely since the very first meeting, and I was asked to just speak for a few minutes regarding Bill and Donna. So I'm going to read this this is what I've written to you, Donna. Dear Donna, a most valuable gift from God is the blessing of a friendship. Your friendship, leadership, and Women Walking Wisely has been for many, and myself in particular, a true gift from God. God in his loving kindness towards us brings many people into our lives to strengthen our faith. Proverbs 17 speaks to that. Your teaching and the many young men who are in seminary over the years has both enriched and grown our faith and trust in God. My husband and I were personally blessed by you and your husband, our pastor and shepherd of faith builders, many times. One example was when, during COVID, you brought us milkshakes and spent time with us, and we followed the rules outside. Many who sat at our tables over the years were strangers, but soon we were sharing our joys and sorrows as we read through the many books over the years. I cannot begin to tell you, Donna, how those books have blessed my life. I've often referred to them, gone back and reread portions of them, especially as we've done counsel different women. And I just want to thank you. What the Bible speaks often of strangers, and many times we started our year and the ladies at our tables were strangers. But as is promised in the Word of God, those strangers became friends, and we shared our joys and our sorrows together. And there's nothing like a women's group to share a joy and a sorrow together. We've been through weddings. We've been through baby showers. And even with you, Donna, watching your two beautiful daughters as they grew up and married, we just so enjoyed being a part of that. And one of the things that I enjoyed personally among Women Walking Wisely was that you shared your life with us. And one of the people that you shared with us was Aunt Dottie. And to this day, I remember Aunt Dottie even being at our leaders' meetings. She would sit there, often wondered, what did she think? But we missed her, and we know that she was a big part of your life, and she became a big part of the lives of many of us. Thank you, Donna, for your ministry to Women Walking Wisely. And I see your handsome husband sitting back there. Thank you to him, too.
Oh, I say ditto to everything that's been said. I'm so excited. It's been 22 years since we've been here. So this is very exciting for me. And I was asked to speak about my earliest memories of Women Walking Wisely. And those began with a walkathon. That's kind of strange, but it was probably in the spring of 1997. Donna was walking in a walkathon, and for some reason, I joined her. I really can't tell you what or why or where it was. Do you remember a walkathon?
No.
Oh, dear. Well, I joined you on that walk, and I don't remember, much about it, but I do remember us walking and walking and walking around this park. You're remembering? I know. We depend on her. But what I do remember that as we walked, you shared with me your heart and your passion for the women of our fellowship group. And you shared that you desire to promote meaningful relationships, meaningful friendships, and discipleship among the women. And you had such a passion for it. And you talked about how the short time that we had before class began, we had very little time to really go deeper and those relationships. And so you talked about having a once a month meeting where we could do just that. And we could encourage one another in our walk with Christ and encourage discipleship and accountability. And I know as you were talking, I was getting so excited because I had been thinking along those same lines. I was feeling the need for that in among the women, the need for those deeper connections. And as I look back over that time, I think God was preparing my own heart for what God was calling you to do. And he was preparing other women's heart as he was preparing Leona's heart and other women. He was preparing their hearts for the same thing. And but we saw that he gave you the desire and the passion and the leadership to carry through. And we're so thankful that that started. And the next thing I remember after this walk, that you invited a bunch of ladies to your home to pray about this idea and to discuss ways that we could implement it. And you asked us each to come with a suggestion for a name for our group. And Women Walking Wisely was given, and I think it was Gail Light. I think it was her. I was right. Good. That came up with that idea. And it so perfectly reflected the purpose that we had. And that's how the name came about. So at that meeting, plans were made and assignments were given for us to just cover all the logistics that would be involved in that. The scheduling, the room setup, the decorations, and of course refreshments. And I remember those nights, Pauline Adams was so creative, and she would make these beautiful tablescapes. And I tried to remember to take my camera so I could take pictures of those. But it was so beautiful, and her flower arrangements were so pretty. And everything was done to make it just a lovely evening for the ladies. And, excuse me, and then the different table groups, I was a blue, I remember the different colors. The different table groups took turns providing the goodies. And as Leona mentioned, the tables were distinguished by a color that was represented by a lovely lady that sat in the middle of our table. Yes. And Janie will tell you more about that too. But it was a Victorian lady. And Janie worked really hard painting all of those and making them all different and special for us. And then each year, a different theme, like the books that were shown up on the screen, were highlighted. And I still have, after being gone 22 years, I still have my notes from those early meetings because they were so important to me and so life-changing for me. And I particularly remember the joy of fearing God and idols of the heart, because those were so eye-opening and so transformative in my own life. And I, too, refer to those, and God brings back some of the teaching that I received then, and I just really appreciate that. And, of course, table time was where really it all happened, where we got to share with one another and discuss the lesson, but most of all encourage one another to put it to practice in our lives, because that's where the river meets the road, as they say. And we just really tried to help each other grow in the Lord and in our walk. And a really special time was being able to just share one another's burdens in prayer and just support one another in that way. I just benefited so much from that ministry. For only 7 years, but because we moved to Oregon, that's why. but it's just such a joy to my life to know all the women that have been changed during this time and have grown in the Lord. And I just praise him, give him glory for all that he's done and done through you in your leadership, Donna. And we just praise the Lord for that. And we honor you today for being so faithful and for loving us all so well.
Yeah, I am so excited to be here because I mean, Sharon's been gone longer than I have, but only 1 year. So I've been gone 21 years. And this is actually, I think, the first time since 2005, I think we came back and visited one time, when Nick was still with me. And you know, I just wanted to start with that because Nick and I met Bill and Donna way back. I mean, long before Faith Builders, when you first came on campus and those two ladies there, either side of you, were a little more than preschoolers, maybe kindergarten. I don't know exactly where they were, but I just remember their cute little flouncy little girl dresses, you know, beautiful redhead and beautiful little blonde person there. They were such an adorable family and so perfectly put together. And we just thought, oh, this is going to be such a great addition to staff at Grace for Bill. And, yeah, we were thrilled to be here. I don't know what year that was. What year did you first get here? Because that's how long I've known you. 82. Well, yeah, longer than I thought that we've known you. Because we met right after you got here. Yeah. It was search.
Probably about 83, 84.
Okay, so that's how long I've known Bill and Donna.
Yes.
Long time. So anyway, so a few years later when Bill did come to Faith Builders, because we were already in, it wasn't Faith Builders then. I think it was Disciples Fellowship, I think. Way back. Yeah, it was Dennis McBride and, you know, before that, Stan Carter. So Stan Carter was there, yes. But then I think Dennis took over when Stan moved to Georgia, I think. Maybe it was the other way around. I don't know. I'm getting up there. It's hard to remember sometimes. So when Bill finally did come to Faith Builders, and we were already there, it was, you know, then that Donna and I really began to connect as friends. And I think our kids always mistook us as sisters because we kind of looked alike, you know, so that was fun. Anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, about Faith Builders. I think, Donna, when I think back to Faith Builders, I think of you being Bill's greatest supporter. We all love Bill immediately, but Donna was always so supportive and such a wonderful example of, you know, the wife that we needed to all be for our husbands. She was always, you know, she's rolling her eyes. Okay, so, all right, well, that's what we saw, Donna. Okay, so anyway, when I keep thinking, sometime in those years, it's when the thought of women walking wisely began to take shape in her mind. I'm seeing all these different facets from all of you who have spoken so far of how Women Walking Wisely came about. But I know that you knew there was a need for the ladies of women of Faith Builders. And so she saw that need, and she acted upon it, I guess with the help of Gail, right? And Leona and Sharon. And, you know, she acted on that, and so now here it is, what, 30 years later, and it's still going on. That's an amazing, amazing thing. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, I know he brought that to your mind. I think it started around the time that my children were getting married. You all remember me as a leader. I'm going, okay, was I? Okay. Thankfully, I was with Women Walking Wisely long enough to see the importance of that ministry. But I was also a table leader at Every Woman's Grace. So, and I could not go out of that because Emery Britton was my spiritual mom. And so I was to be at Every Woman's Grace. So some of you may remember Emery because she hasn't been gone that long. So anyway, I was quick to encourage Donna on that venture. And I was happy to be able to be there for as long as I was there, but I could not stay in Women Walking Wisely. My kids were getting married around that time. I was really busy with, you know, getting ready for weddings and stuff like that. Pauline, I haven't even had a chance to talk to you yet. In the beginning, Donna and Pauline just looked at you, and then there's your name right there, had this great idea for the little wooden silhouette dolls. I don't know how many of you remember those. Debbie does. Anybody who was there in the beginning, I don't know how long they stayed around because they were there longer than I was. Was it? They were in your garage a very long time. Okay. Cute. So Donna and Pauline had this idea for these little wooden silhouettes of the little walking women, which were reusable centerpieces. That's always good. So I had the joy of being able to paint them and make them come alive. And, you know, I don't know if I color coordinated them to the tables. I can't remember that part. But they were all different, every one of them. And so once this was done, I think I was there maybe a good part of the first year. And then I had to get back to the wedding prep and all that stuff that I was doing. So unfortunately, I can't speak to Women Walking Wisely. I just know Donna really well. So I know her heart. Because we shared almost 10 years together in a small prayer group with Dolores Michelson. I don't know if she's here today. I know she's supposed to be right there. Dolores Michelson and Melissa, who is here, and Melissa Michelson Hancock. I always know her as Melissa Michelson because Melissa was our babysitter from the time she was 15. So I've known her a very long time. I think you were 5 when I met you. Now you're a grandmother. What's up with that? Oh, gosh. Shows you how old I am. So anyway, in that time of the fellowship with all these people, Anna Sanders was in that group. Anna Sanders, Donna Burrell was in that group. And Sharon Jarka was in that group. I expected her to be up here with me. We're not. We're together today. No, not really. But I mean, when we were planning this, we were going to be coming up together. So I was just saying, and Sharon. So, okay, so now I've lost my place here. Hold on. Anyway, in that time, it was really a special time, 10 years of praying together. Anna Sanders, who had this wonderful passion in her heart to have small prayer groups meet consistently together. And by the way, Anna, I don't know if you know this, but I took that whole idea to Oregon with me, and I started a prayer group up there that also lasted 10 years. And the only reason it stopped is because I moved away. And it didn't really stop then. Portions of it are still going on. So yeah, it was a special time. In the ministries in which Donna and I... Oh, you know what? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there it is. Sorry. My font is so small. And my daughter Haley says, why did you make it so small? How are you going to be able to do this? Anyway, in the ministries that Donna and I were involved together sharing, she's always been a beacon of inspiration to me, always, as a woman who wanted more than anything else in the world to glorify the Lord. And I know that's true. And the prayer warrior that she is, and the avid book reader that she is, and several of those that flew by here, she gave to me. And I came across one the other day, and I said, I'm going to take this on the plane with me and read it again. It's so good. Wish I could tell you what it is right now, but my brain is like thinking of this. So anyway, so it was fun because we used to walk together for actually, I think the whole time that Deidre was at Santa Clarita Christian School. There you are. I'm pointing out at that table generally. Deidre was, I think, 7th or 8th grade. Isn't that what she was? 6th grade? At Santa Clarita? Okay, 11th grade. Anyway, well, Melissa would walk with us occasionally, or sort of walk with us. She was at the age where she didn't really want to walk with us. I know that. She was like dragging her heels behind us. No, just kidding. true, right? So so we would walk up in the hills, because I lived in Canyon Country. We had a lot of hills. It was, you know, up and down, and we'd talk, and we'd share everything together, and we'd share prayer requests. We talked about our involvement with ministry, our children, our husbands, you know, just the wonderful things, the ideas that she had to do, whatever, and, you know, we'd talk it through. Sometimes the heartaches, of course, along with that, because our kids were teenagers in high school, what that's like. We usually ended up, after our walk, going back to the house and sharing, just sitting down, breathing again, tea, and lots more prayer, and albuterol for Donna. You had asthma, I think, at that time, or asthma-like things, but I know you said, I need my albuterol. I do remember that. Anyway, Donna, all that to say, I thank the Lord for you. I praise him for the friendship that we've had that has continued even through the last 21 years after I moved to Oregon. And you had come up with Bill once or twice, and you've come up by yourself a couple times to stay. And it was so special having you come several times, and even since Nick went home to be with the Lord, and especially because Nick went home to be with the Lord, and you'd come up, and it meant so much to me that you would come up and be a part of my life then up there. That was so special. Those were precious times, and I have been so impacted by those and haven't forgotten those times. Sharon joined us at least once or twice, and she'd come up for several days, and so just the three of us. Lynn actually let her come. So that was great. Donna, I pray for you and Bill both. I know that you will be very excited. I'm going to read this part because I'm afraid that I'm going to not do it right. Because I pray for you and Bill both that you will be so excited to start this next chapter of your life together in retirement. I know you both will be anticipating with joy what the Lord might have for you still, wherever he takes you next. You may slow down some, but if I know you, you will discover whatever it is and jump in with a willing heart and excited to serve him further. What an enormous blessing it has been to be here today to help you celebrate this amazing life faithfully lived for the glory of God. May the Lord continue to richly bless you and Bill both. I love you, friend.
What a great time we've had. It's just been so fun. We've had lots of people to think about and thank. And I'll start with, Katie, again, thank you very much. Debbie and her vast crew, I'm sure, and the sleepless nights and work, lots of work. And Mark Britton and the boys. So we thank you so much. Those of us oldies can remember packing our own dishes and setting our tables and clearing them and serving and clearing all that and washing. And so it's so fun to have you guys with us. It really is great. The slideshow. What do we say about that slideshow? It was beautiful. A family slideshow as well, and the testimonials we've had thus far with Leona and Linda and Janie and Sharon. We thank you for coming and joining us. But we're not done yet. We have four more people to hear from today. One is going to be Gail Light. We'll start off with Gail, and then we have our dear Angela Jones as well, and then our Donna. And then Diana Hayes will close us in prayer. So enjoy the time. Come on up.
Well, for those who don't know me, I'm Gail Light. We were guys from 1989 till 2003 when we moved up to north of Seattle and bought a house with our daughter and her husband at the time, one grandchild. There soon ended up being four. And the oldest one got married and is about to have my third great-grandson. So we're thrilled with that. And our grandson's getting married in July. When we moved up there, Sean was the youth pastor for a church. And in 2010, we started our own church. And a year later, we started our own classical school. And 3 years ago, we started a college. So there's no time really to get too old. I do have to add, Aunt Dottie was such a thrill every time she came. And one night we were over at Bill and Donna's and we were playing a game, and it was, if you were stranded on an island, who would you want on the island with you? And Aunt Dottie said, Tom Selleck. What was she, in her late 80s at the time? I don't know, but she was always a kick in the pants. We loved her. When we came to Grace, we lived down in the South Bay area in Palos Verdes, and we were trying, when we left our church, we drove all around the South Bay area trying to find a church. And good friends of ours, who happened to be getting ready to move to Texas, said, it's not a bad drive. It's only like 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. On a Wednesday, anywhere to 3.5 hours, depending on what the traffic was. So we came, and it was after a swim meet in San Luis Obispo. We stopped for evening service, and we decided, okay, we can handle this. David and I both were saved through discipleship. I was 35 when I was saved. David was 37, and we are committed to the process. And so David says, well, before we settle down into an adult fellowship, we need to go to every group. So we started out in kindergarten, and we sort of made our way through. We actually started in the nursery. And we said, we just want to observe, and they let us observe. And we made our way up, and then we started hitting all the adult fellowship groups and ended up in Galileans when George Zemek, who was the theology professor at the time, was heading up that class. When George stepped down, Pat Howell took over and suggested that David become an elder, which was sort of a hoot in the pants because he said, and David, you're going to have to wear a suit. We were coming in, you know, he came in slacks and a golf shirt, and he said, no, you got to up your game if you think you're going to become an elder, which he did. And when he accepted it in the elder board, he started to cry, and apparently John MacArthur looked over another elder and goes, who is this nut job? You know, like. So we were in Galileans, and then I don't know how many years, just a couple years, and then the church decided, no, it's time to blend two into one, and it became Faith Builders. But there was a real stink of people, no, I don't want to. And so David went to Bill and said, look, this can be easy. This doesn't have to be difficult. Just go talk to the people in your class and tell them to get over themselves. Which he did. I mean, Donna was just remembering there was one gal who really was unhappy. And she goes, well, I'd rather go to Stuart Scott's class if we're just being moved around. So that's what they did. They went and talked to their prospective classes and just talked to the men and the women saying, this is really not a big deal. This is what the church wants. Get on board. So that's how we actually met Bill and Donna. And in Donna, I found a friend who I could be transparent with, which is oddly so. People in leadership tend to be more guarded. I don't know why. The sheep can't know that their leaders, their shepherds, sin. I mean, don't we all? But there's a guardedness, and Donna and I talked about it a lot. And in each other, we found somebody that we could talk to. Deidre and my daughter are about a week apart in birthdays, maybe 2 weeks. And there were lots of things to share of, you know, raising girls who were becoming teenagers and whatnot. What I know most about Bill and Donna is their commitment to hospitality and inviting if your birthday was that month or your anniversary, you went to their house for dinner, or they would do something in the middle of the summer, and it was their home was always open. And we took that on, and we had a policy if our porch light was on, because we moved from PV to Santa Clarita, if our porch light was on, you could come in. It didn't matter, and one night we forgot to turn it off. And to test it, I'm not going to remember his name, he was in high school ministry on staff, and it was like 1 a.m, he knocked on the door, and David got up and talked to him. But he said, I just wanted to make sure. You said your house was open, so your house is open. But that really had an impact on me. And then when Women Walking Wisely, I'll never forget our first leaders get together in your backyard. And, you know, I'm a discipler. All you need is a group of women who want to be discipled, and you have it. And they start talking about decorations. I'm looking at them going, you're what? Oh, yes, we have these little silhouettes, and Janie's going to paint them. And I'm thinking, it was so foreign to me. And then table decorations and matching colors, and I'm just going, ah. So the first couple of years, the leaders rotated in teaching, either through a book. One time we did themes, I can't remember. But as the group started to grow, it was like, well, I want to sit at somebody's table. So we decided we wouldn't let anybody know where the leaders were sitting. It was just, we knew what tables we were going to go to, but they didn't. And they were sort of wandering around. I think that was the first year the upright ladies, Victorian ladies, disappeared. So there was no clue where anybody was going. And you got, and then we walked in once everybody was seated, and that's who you got for the year. I do love that it started sort of as a clandestine group, because there was every Women's Grace, and that was the ladies' ministry. And we all talked. We have single gals who work who can't go, because I don't think EWG had an evening program at the time. And we had young moms who had to get their husbands home so they could come. So there was this whole group of people that was falling through and not having that opportunity to be discipled. So Bill went to the elders, and they said, okay, but it's faith builders only. And we went, okay, we have enough to do that. Somebody said 42 people, is that right? But then somebody said, well, what about student ministries? There are gals that want to be discipled. Well, sure, they could come on in. And then it was, oh, children's ministry people. Well, yeah, they can come in. So sometime after we left in 2003, it just seemed to be open, which I'm thrilled. Because somebody said, a church this size to get plugged in, you have to be proactive. You can't just wait for somebody to come up and say, you know, I think I want to disciple you. It's not going to happen. And this ministry allowed a lot of women who didn't have a place to go to come and get that. And Donna has always, I mean, the teaching, which used to rotate, then just sort of narrowed down to where Donna did all the teaching. Maybe, I don't know what happened after we left, but that's what sort of happened. It was a blessing to me. And when we moved up and started our church, actually just before we left, I had started another church, and we blandly called it Titus II. Everybody calls their women's ministry Titus II, it seems, but that's what we did. And a lot of what we did here is what we started to do up in Marysville, Washington. And it's still going, and we have, our church is only about 280 people, but that includes newborn babies. It's everybody. And I would say we regularly have about 75 women who attend faithfully once a month. And again, discipleship is the goal, and I think it is should be the goal for everyone. And I want to commend you all, ladies, today, because Paul in Galatians 6:6, and I'm in the wrong chapter, so let me get to the right chapter, says, Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And Donna, these ladies here today are honoring you and sharing the good things that you shared back at you. And you are a good and faithful follower of Christ, and I love you.
I'm a bit taller than the rest. As I was sitting here today, I was just struck by God's faithfulness. This is, you don't wake up in the morning and think, what is my ministry going to look like in 30 years? It never has crossed my mind. But I know for Donna, she woke up every morning and thought, how can I be faithful today to serve my King? And this is the amazing result of that faithfulness, of God's faithfulness, of Him faithful to her and her faithful to sweet obedience. So I'm going to read this because I'm a reader, not a memorizer anymore. So this is to you, my dearest Donna. Many memories over the years I have treasured in my heart. Long beach walks, lake swims, late night card playing, and long seasons of prayer. Lovely Italian food on magical snowy nights. But these wonderful adventures are truly sweet memories. But what I treasure most about the gift of knowing you is the hidden person of the heart. Donna, you are a daughter of the King of Kings, a woman of great internal and external beauty, an excellent wife, a crown about your husband's head, a woman of strength and dignity, a woman who opens her mouth with wisdom, a woman deeply devoted to prayer, a teacher of what is good to all of us, an imitator of Christ, and a woman who does not fear the future, but clings to the hem of her master's garment, knowing that he is all she needs. Finally, you are a woman of great zeal. As J.C. Ryle rightly explained it, zeal in religion is a burning desire to please God, to do his will, and to advance his glory in the world in every possible way. Donna, you live for one thing, and that one thing is to please your Savior. Therefore, so many of us have been richly blessed and changed under the ministry and love of your friendship. Consider a rancher whose cattle bear his branding. Under his care, I was a little nervous using that. Consider a rancher whose cattle bear his branding. Under his care, they have received a permanent marking that identifies them with him. Similarly, all those who have sat under your wise teaching, witnessed your devotion to the Savior, watched your heart firmly planted in the faith through every trial and storm, we have received a similar branding, a lasting impression on our souls, a marking of Christ that can't be taken away. We have been permanently changed, having been given imperishable gifts under your faithful care. We are recipients of God's favor and goodness that has flowed through your life to ours. We are the blessed ones, truly. And on a personal note, as one of those blessed ones who has been a recipient of Donna's discipleship, I want to share just a tiny bit of my own experience with you. Donna, many years ago, as a new seminary family, you received us into the fold of Faith Builders. You knew we would only be here for a short time. You had loved many before us who left, and you loved many after us. And yet you loved our family without reserve. As a woman without a Christian mother and a Christian family, you allowed me to be intimately acquainted with yours, which was such a game changer. My husband is blessed because of it, because of you. As a woman, faithfully modeling Titus 2, your life was an open display of delightful obedience to God's ways. I found that being a woman deeply devoted to the Lord could look strong, passionate, witty, and even spicy. Donna is spicy. You are fierce in the best way possible. You are distinctly Donna under the power and control of the Holy Spirit with the aim of righteousness in all things. You are a mighty force, and I love you for that. Thank you for being a close friend, a mentor, and my mother in Christ. Thank you for making it your aim to please Christ in all the various seasons of life and ministry. Thank you for letting me be a part of those seasons, allowing me to see how to strive for Christ-likeness. Thank you that whether in joy or deep stretching sorrows, you did not hide yourself away, nor raise your fist at the Lord. I believe in my own ministry struggles, I have been able to withstand the storms with my eyes firmly fixed heavenward because of your fervent example of trust in our sovereign God. Thank you for shaping my faith and modeling heavenward faith, a heavenward life, really. Lastly, Psalm 71, parts of it, says, "You, O Lord, are my hope and my trust. O Lord of my youth, do not cast me off in a time of old age, nor forsake me not when my strength is spent. But I will hope continually and praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me. I will proclaim the wonders of your deeds." So even to old age and gray hairs, not that you have any. "O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to one generation, to another generation, your powers to all those who come. This is a spiritual zeal that I know is stored up in your heart, Donna, and you will continue to proclaim the goodness of God all of your days." I'd like to end here with a quote from one of Donna's many books, but I read this one remembering that she mentioned it quite a while past, in the past, and I picked it up this week, and I loved it, and it's by J.I. Packer, called Finishing Your Race with Joy. And he says, "The biblical expectation of spiritual ripeness and service of others is the substance of the last lap. Keep something in reserve for the final sprint. Sprint indeed. Live each day as thy last."
I don't think I should be standing here. I kind of feel like I should be laid out over here with all these things. You know what? If I go before you, Billy, you don't even have to plan my funeral, because I did it. And it's probably recorded. And everybody can come and eat food for sure. And then just listen to it. And if you don't want to listen, you can just talk. So that's what I think. Kind of like, I kept saying, like, who are they talking about? Anyway, you know, Angela said, which was a great analogy, that I have grabbed hold of my Savior's garment. Well, the truth is, like Katie was alluding to, it's not my hold onto his garment that keeps me there. It's his hold on me. He will hold you fast. So you all know that. And there's many times in our life, ones that I may have spoken to Katie about, and ones that have happened since, that it's really not my firm grasp. It's his. And only because I trust his do I have security. So, and that's true for all of us. And then we can all celebrate. We can all be celebrated, which really isn't us being celebrated, it's him. So that's what this day is about. But with that, and I have to say, just about all of you have stole my thunder of what I was going to say and the verses I was going to say. So anyway, you made it easy for me. But I was thinking over the last couple of weeks when Chris said I would have some time here. And by the way, this has been so amazingly delightful, and a number of people have asked me, well, what are you thinking it's going to be like? Who do you think's going to be there? What do you hope is happening? I said, you know what? I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm not thinking about it. I really don't want to think about it. First of all, I was way too busy. And second of all, and my good friend Lori Britton, wherever she's sitting, said to me the other day when this week I found out my license had expired. My passport had expired. We were all out of some very crucial medicine that we needed, and we couldn't get it. And so it was like, okay, really? Really? Okay. So, and the Lord just took care of all those things, but she was so nice. I was going to drive myself to the DMV. You know, yes, I'm a little spicy, Angela, but she said, no, I better drive you. And so we, you know, they took me right away. I filled out a form, and she said, go to the head of the line. And the guy welcomed me, and he goes, oh, your name is Donna. And he started singing, oh, Donna. And I thought, I'm just going to roll with it because he's got to be my friend right now. So I thought, you know, you should take that on the road, you know. So he said, oh, I'm sorry, I have to ask you this question. How old are you? And I said, 73. He said, okay, all you have to do, he says, your license expired in January. We're not going to talk about that. But just go over there and take a vision test, and we'll give you your license today. So that's kind of the way all those things were resolved. And that's what I was focused on all week long. So no, I didn't think about what I should do. And Lori even asked me if I bought a new outfit. So as you see, I did not. Because you've seen pictures. The last 3 years, this is what I've worn. So there you go. It still fits. So na, na, na. So there we are. So I'm sorry, this is not a stand-up comedian. It is going to be serious. But what I was thinking about the last couple of days, what will I say? What could I possibly, how can I respond to what's going to happen that I don't know? I knew there would be food, and I knew there would be talking, and I knew there'd probably be music, and I knew the guys were here, and thank you so much, guys. I love it. You're just great. But I started to reflect, and where it began, wherever it began. But I remember Bill was transferred out here in 1980. I mean, he came home literally one night, December of 79, and he said, guess what? We're moving to California. Oh, joy. Great. Okay. So, and we moved in January. That's how fast it went. My mom was not happy with him. And so, because we had our first grandchild, Deidre was 13 months old. And so we moved here, and we were not believers. And we had decided pretty much on the plane, we mapped out our life. I'm a planner. And so, you know, we mapped out our life. These are the things we're going to do. These are the things we're not going to do. One of his goals was to become a millionaire by a certain point. 5 years. Was it 5 years? Something like that. It didn't happen. But hence, the same jacket for 3 years. I like it. But somewhere along the way, we had a babysitter. And this babysitter was such an unusual girl. I asked her mom, what did you do, she had two daughters, to raise your girls like that? They're such nice girls. She said, it's not me, it's the Lord. I said, the Lord? And I was Catholic, Italian Catholic. So it means they're together. They're the same. You don't separate them. Meatballs and mass, they go together. I asked her, you know, about parenting. So she said, why don't you come over Tuesday and we'll talk. So every Tuesday I'd go over, and she was a Scottish lady, and she would open the Bible. We'd talk about the Bible. And after a while, I was just being really polite, very polite for me. And I said, you know what, this is great. I said, but we're not talking about parenting. She said, oh, here. And she gave me this set of tapes. Tapes, you know what those are? And I listened to them, and it was on parenting by a man named John MacArthur. And so I brought him back, and I said, you know something? I said, I need to speak to this man. Anyway, make a long story short, in the course of that, the Lord saved me. Praise the Lord. So at that point, we were starting to have dire marital problems, and I was basically planning to leave. So I thought, I just speak to this man. He'll see it my way, and then I'll be off, move back to New York. By that point, with two girls. So no, that wasn't the way it went. I got saved instead. And then I was so astonished that the Lord would save me that I thought, and I remember sitting in my room by myself, because the lady who, the mom of the babysitter, said, now you're not going to shove this down his throat, meaning the Bible, but you're going to pray for him, and you're just going to obey it. She told me what it was to be a biblical wife. Oh my. And so I thought, Lord, you have really pulled me out of the pit. And in doing so, I just really, my heart is for women. I want to help women. If you would allow me to, in any way, I don't care what it is, I just want to help women. Fast forward maybe a year, year and a half, I'm not too sure, around 1982, God saved Bill as well. Well, then, and we talked, okay, what are we going to do with this new life? So we both, I mean, we really didn't know words like discipleship, but we thought we want to open our home, we want to meet with people, we want to be sensitive to people who are going through maybe where we were and help them along, be used by God to help people in their lives, get very involved with people. So, and then we had the privilege of coming here and sitting under John MacArthur's ministry. And I know the first Sunday we were here together, we were walking across the street, and Bill said to me, you know, we're going to sit in the back. And if that guy says anything wrong, we're out of here. And I said, how are you going to know? And he goes, I don't know. I said, all right. So the next week we were in front. So we decided, after so much was poured into us right away, our children were taken care of well in Sunday school. We went to FOF. We went to something called FOFF, which is Fundamentals Fulfilling the Family. And we had so many godly, godly men and women pouring into our lives. So, and the verse was mentioned, Psalm 27:17, iron sharpening iron. Certainly, we were dull blades, and we were being sharpened by so many, just watching somebody. I mean, we were like sponges. He couldn't read enough. He couldn't listen to tapes enough. I couldn't read enough. It was just, I asked thousands of questions with anybody I met. And as soon as I would meet somebody on a Sunday, where are you? Okay, your mom, Michelson Girls. I came to an event here on a Wednesday. They had a speaker. And I walked out. It was with your mom. And I said, she said, oh, do you like Elizabeth Elliot? I said, who? And she said, you've never heard of Elizabeth Elliot? I said, no. She said, do you have any of her books? I said, no, I don't even know who she is. I might have her book. I don't know. What does she do? And so she took me to the bookstore. She bought me all her books. So I went home with all her books. And so that's the kind of people that our lives were intertwined with. And so we thought, what are we going to do? So with this privilege, we had the joy and the privilege and honor to have the desire I first had, which is particularly to help women, realized. And it started to blossom in a lot of different ways, one-on-one or being involved. We were involved in children's ministry. Our first little class, I had Nathan Busnitz. We had Nathan Busnitz. And Bill said something about the book of Job. And so Nathan, in his little suit with his little pen over here, said, it's not Job, it's Job. And so, you know, we were being even discipled by six-year-olds. So, but we were eager learners, so we paid attention. We never said Job again. So, finally, as was said, in 1994, Bill, by that point, he was over children's, then biblical counseling, and it was Stan Carter, who was the last pastor of Family of Faith, Fellowship of Faith, something of faith, and so they were told he was going to be the pastor of that. And so we went, and as Leona said, she did. I very much remember the booth we sat in. I remember you said you hurried over your lunch hour. And I love it because she was very straightforward. She said, so what are you going to do for the women of whatever we were? And I said, I don't know. You're all older than me. What could I possibly do for them? And I said, but I tell you what I do want to do. I said, I don't want to do anything other than disciple women. She said, okay, she didn't use that word, but she said, yes, let's start doing that. And I do remember that first tea. Do you remember the first question you asked me?
I sure do. I was afraid to say it.
My favorite restaurant?
What
yeah, okay, you think it was what? why did I marry a guy with orange hair? You know what's fun about that? I had a lady in Faith Builders say to me, how did your daughter with red hair get red hair? I went, have you seen my husband? And she said, yeah, his white or peach. And I said, well, it was red. It was really red. So how'd I do that? I like different things. So a lot. It's a big story. We'll talk. Anyway, we both believed in discipleship. So we said, so I came home and I talked to Bill. I said, what do you think about me doing something with the ladies? And so we did consider EWG, which was a big thing at the time, because it's not at all that I thought in terms of competing with it. I love the ministry of EWG, but that was a studying of the word. And I had this, like was being said by Gail, we had so many women in Faith Builders that were, you know, like she said, older or younger, but they were not able to be in life like a church, making those relationships where you could talk about life together. And I thought, I want to replicate that somehow. And so, and I want to read, I heard women say to me things like, well, I don't really study the Bible because that's for seminary students or men who lead Bible studies. And I thought, okay, that's not right. So I want to encourage women to study the word that they can. They may not be able to get the Greek text out, but we can study the word. I want to read good Christian books. I want to understand what it means to live out our helper design. What does this mean in all walks of life? So that kind of to shape what I had the vision, and I met with Leona, and we, like Sharon and all, and like Janie said, and Gail, this is what we started. And so I had four perspectives, and I was going to read Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, but you've heard it. So I wanted to teach or encourage women to love the Lord, to love the word, to love God's people, and to live out their helper design, those four things. So we started Women Walking Wisely. And you know what happened? You sharpened us, because we did life together. When I would talk with any of you about life, and your question was, how can I obey God in this? It's so hard. How can I honor God in this? It's so impossible. I don't want to do it. And then you get to roll up your sleeves and sit down with someone and let's talk about it. Some of you came to my home. Some of you, we walked. Some of you, it was here at church, but like Woe said, that first time we met, there was six tables in the 130 room, and it was very simple. And that first year we studied, what does it mean to walk with the Lord, because of our theme verse. And then after that, it just sort of molded into 1 year we studied theology, another year practical, and you know, you saw the Star Wars thing of all the the names of the books we read. I really felt like, dun, dun, dun. But that was many, and I think some of them are down here. So I wanted to talk about how do we walk worthy of our calling? How do we honor God with our lives? And how do we do it with humility, gentleness, with patience, show tolerance with one another, practicing the one another's, as I learned from Elizabeth Elliot. How do we do all those things as we do the next thing? You've heard that from her. So when God puts something before us, it's not a mistake. Is he God? Yes. Is he in control? Yes. Could he have changed this if he wanted to? Yes. Then what does he want me to learn? So we ask that question in many ways over and over and over and over and over. So how can we practically apply God's truth in our everyday lives? And as I said, we did it through studying theology and practically. And then another verse became very, very dear to me, particularly as we delve into biblical counseling, and that was Colossians 1:28. It says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And then Paul goes on, simply says, for this I toil,
struggling with all his energy, his, not mine, and he, yes, there's energy in it, but it's initially his, that he powerfully works within me. And that is our mandate. Every one of you, every one of you here, male, female, which there are only two genders, right? So we are to proclaim him with our mouth and with our lives. So proclaiming him and knowing him is the most important thing we can think and say. And it's the most important impact you can have on anyone's life. And I thought, when I breathe my last breath, I want it to be said, that's the most important impact. Now, I know I probably impacted many of you in different ways, but if you were to have to boil it down, I really pray it's an impact with knowing and loving Christ. So what I'd like to do is kind of close up with this idea, the result of Women Walking Wisely in my life. Two words, sweet fellowship. There has been, I mean, it's been spoken of all the time. We love, the leaders love the leader meetings because we, it was like that was my table. And of course, Women Walking Wisely grew, and there was, we went from six tables to, I think we have 15, and with a leader and a co-leader. And so we had sweet fellowship at the leader meeting, and we had sweet fellowship at the tables, like you're doing today. So it reminded me of a verse in the Old Testament, Numbers 13, 23 through 24. I'm sure you don't have it on the tip of your tongue. It wasn't on mine, but I read it. And it's a story how the spies went into the promised land, remember? And what did they bring out? They brought out such a huge branch that was so heavy with grapes, very large, beautiful grapes, and figs and pomegranates. It was so rich that two men had to carry it because it was so, so heavy. And it was showing Israel, the Hebrew people, this is what awaits for you in the promised land. This is what awaits in Canaan. And I've read commentaries about it, and Eshcol, it was the city of Eshcol, is like the church. So it was saying in Eshcol, this is what awaits you. And in the church, this sweet fellowship is what is available to us. But you know what, ladies? It's just a taste. It's a taste, because guess what? As our dear Leela would say, the best is yet to come. Thank you. I love you.
Hello, ladies. This has been such a blessing of a morning, Donna. We love you, and we know the Lord loves you. We know you know that. And therefore, you have been a blessing to each of us here. My name is Diana Hayes, and I've served in Women Walking Wisely for about 9 years and then moved to Texas last year. And each and every one of those years that I was serving in Women Walking Wisely, I was able to learn from you, Donna, one of the most genuine women walking the face of the planet. Donna, it was you that was able, you were able to be vulnerable with us and express how you're walking with the Lord and what the Lord was teaching you in each circumstance as you walked through it. Because you are so secure in your relationship with the Lord and because of the work of Christ in your life, you do walk securely and you don't need to put up a pretense. And we thank you for that because it's taught us to do the same. You are a breath of fresh air to listen to and to talk to. And not to mention how you are continually teaching us, because not only do you let us listen to you, but you will ask us lots of questions, and like a wise teacher, about how the Lord is working in our lives and how we're allowing Scripture to work out in our lives, allowing the Lord to allowing the Lord to work in our lives through Scripture by bringing His Word to bear in our trials. So I thank you. You're just doing that to me this week, where you asked, what is the Lord teaching you during this season? And I love that because it teaches me to think biblically about my circumstances. When I think of you, Donna, I was thinking of many scriptures that impact me. Just sitting under you, being in the leaders' meetings, and just how you've walked with me through my own trials. And I think of Psalm 91, where it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place from generation to generation. And you've always taught us, Donna, that it's not where we are, and it's not what circumstance we're in, but it's the Lord who is our home, and it's to Him who we cling to. I was recently reading through Deuteronomy as well, and it again reminded me of that scripture. Deuteronomy 33:26-27 says, there is none like the God of Jeshurun, which is a word for Israel, who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in His majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Donna, these scriptures I have held close to my heart, and they've given me the assurance that no matter where the Lord takes us in His providence, that it's Him, not a place or a set of optimal circumstances, that is, as Pastor John says, our sanctuary for protection and sustenance and stability. These scriptures invite us to run to the Lord for refuge in every situation. And in doing so, and you reminding us who our Lord is, you have helped prepare all of us, as it is your desire, for our eternal home with Christ. I want to end with a reminder, Donna, that you did start this women's ministry. I feel like I'm just saying what you said, because you loved your husband and you wanted to serve Christ alongside him, but also because you love women and we know you love us. You've trained us to know the character of God, to trust Him in salvation, and also to trust that He's sanctifying us daily in our specific role as women. You know this, Donna, but as the Lord transitions your role specifically here, there's still so much work to be done for Christ in teaching women to live their roles out for the glory of God. I just want to reference a recent podcast that Albert Mohler broadcasted on Wednesday, March 26, 2025. He mentions the Wall Street Journal and a statistic that is that just kind of verifies that there's still so much ministry to be done. The share of women in ages 18 to 40 in America who are single was 51% in 2023, and that number is up from 41.8% from 2000. The article continues, or the podcast, I was reading the article after I listened to it, continues that among many younger women in the United States, the unmarried women think themselves happier than married women. And for many of them, they don't want to be married. This is just a taste of what's going on in our culture. But at the end of the podcast, he mentions, in the end, it's not a cultural problem, it's a spiritual problem. So, ladies, there is still much need for women's ministry. Feminism is sweeping through the country and the world as it's tolerated and exalted to the detriment of women. Donna, you've trained us to love Christ, not ourselves, and not to exalt ourselves. You've trained us to love His word and submit ourselves to His word and His design for us in our feminine roles. Not to be feminist, and your influence is needed more than ever, wherever the Lord takes you. let's just say that also these statistics are an alarm for each of us. What are we going to do for the Lord? How are we going to bring others to Christ? How are we going to hold forth the example that Donna and so many of the leaders in here have held forth for us? How are we going to live genuinely before others and glad and openly glad about our roles that he's given to us? We each have a part as his body, and may the Lord direct our hearts just to the right people and the ministries that will give him the greatest glory. Thank you for this morning, and I'll bow, and I'll lead us in prayer. So let's bow and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, as is fitting, for saving us, for delivering us from the realm of darkness into the realm of light. Father, we are eternally grateful, and help us to walk worthy of the calling that you've called us to be like Christ, to walk with him, to show forth who he is to the world. We are all collectively thankful, Father, for Donna and how you have called her with an eternal calling to the hope of heaven, and that she has lived out that calling before us and therefore taught all of us, Father, how to live and be more like Christ. Father, I pray that you bless Donna and you bless Bill, and may this be the most fruitful time in their lives. Father, and I pray, Father, for each lady here, that those of them that don't know Christ yet, that you would draw them to yourself. And I pray, Father, draw each of us to your word and keep us close to your word and keep us growing, Lord. Help us to keep you as our first love. I pray that you protect Bill and Donna, encourage them, and Father, help us to keep our friendships alive, Lord. Father, again, we thank you for this day, and we pray again that Donna is so encouraged, and we look forward to all you're going to do in her life from here on out. We pray in Christ's name, amen.